Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an Hakim, and Allah ta'ala addresses His servants, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala likes that His servant, His creation, Allah Ta'ala says, I like that my servant does my dhikr and remembers me. And then this amal, this deed, this worship action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given explanation and detail that how the servant should remember his Lord and say Alhamdulillah. Because Allah ta'ala has explained to us how we should remember Him. Allah says, remember me while you're standing, sitting and lying down, sleeping and walking and sitting. Just keep on remembering me all the time. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left any moment or second with a void or empty in which we don't remember Allah. There is not a second in our life that should be without the remembrance of Allah. And the reason for this is not this, that Allah ta'ala is in need of our dhikr, in need of our remembrance, or He gets a benefit from our dhikr. Rather, it's Allah's special extreme mercy and blessings on this ummah, on this nation of Muslimin, that Allah ta'ala in every moment, every condition, in every situation a mu'min is in, Allah wants to give forgiveness to the mu'mineen. There's no other reason. This is Allah's mercy, His blessings, His gifts to the ummah. The person who understands this, he has understood, and he who doesn't understand will never understand. That's all it is. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala has mentioned what? That whatever we see around us and our conditions in our life and situation, Allah says, I don't want or don't like it that a second passes where I cannot forgive you. We say that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned dhikr, that we have to remember Him. So how do we attain forgiveness? Well, my brothers, dhikr means forgiveness and nothing else. Nothing else. And this is a big reward of Allah, big gift of Allah, big mercy of Allah on His servant. That how, in which way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives amal to insan, to the human being, through which a person attains forgiveness. Dhikr gives forgiveness, bakhshish. But the servant, the human being, he is so busy and occupied in sin, that he believes, he accepts what Allah Ta'ala is saying, he accepts, but he keeps on hesitating and stopping and starting. How can it be that I've got so many sins to my name? And he looks into his book of deeds or record that he has in his mental, in his brain, and he starts to melt with shame. And he says, I can't even imagine that Allah is going to forgive me. And I'm doing, if I do dhikr of Allah, Allah will forgive me? But Allah Ta'ala said yes. But if Allah Ta'ala has said something, that's it, it will happen. Alhamdulillah. But the servant of Allah, he keeps on doubting and shaking and thinking, is this going to happen? He thinks, how am I going to be forgiven? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the reason for this, brothers? That Allah's rahmah and mercy, so much is coming, Allah's fadl and karam and mercy. And especially if we look at ourselves, we're nothing special, are we? So many nations have passed before us, and with no ummah did Allah give this reward. So the special reason for this reward of bakhshish, forgiveness, that if we remember Allah, is Allah's rahmah, is Allah's karam. And the reason is that our link is with His Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's due to the link with Habib Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's given us this reward. Allah Ta'ala says, on my remembrance, I will forgive you. Otherwise, let's look at the previous nations and how Allah Ta'ala dealt with them. Allah's given us a big reward. Allah's joined us with this ummah. Linked us with this ummah. We are members of the ummah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. But this reward will not cease in this world. It will not finish in this world. That the reward due to the link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not restrained to this world. To the hereafter, the scene will be seen. People will see the reward and the benefits of being in the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Hashr. on the plain of Hashr. When time will pass, so much time will pass, years will pass, years will pass. People will be waiting because the accounting will then start, won't it? Allah Ta'ala's reckoning will start. What's going to happen, Allah? We're stuck. We're all stood here. Everyone will be drowning in the sweat and the sun will be low, burning, and the earth will be burning and no one will be in a position to do anything, and this will be the scene on the day of Qiyamah. And we won't know when the reckoning will start, the accounting will start. So much time has passed, screaming, screeching. We'll all be in a difficult situation. We won't know nothing. What's happening? What's not happening? When's it going to happen? Then eventually, everybody will be running around to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. That please, you are Safiullah, you are the father, our forefather, you are our great, 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 great grandfather. For the sake of Allah, please intercede for us. That make a decision. Where shall we go? Let's get out of this predicament, this severe heat and disastrous situation we're in. We don't know what's happening. Then the answer will come. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, nafsi, nafsi, I cannot do nothing. I cannot do nothing. And it's not in my control. I have no authority. Allah will be in His jalal at that time. Imagine Allah's jalal. Imagine Allah's wrath, Allah's jalal, Allah's power, and we will see it. That we keep on seeing in this world, Allah's rahmah, rahmah, mercy. So Allah's ghadab, Allah will be showing His extreme might at that time and power. So then Adam alayhi salam said, go, I cannot do nothing. Then the ummah, we people, will run to every prophet, and what will be the answer? All the Nabis, we take turn by turn. Hazrat Khalilullah, nafsi, nafsi will be the answer. Hazrat Kaleem Allah, nafsi, nafsi will be the answer. Zabi Allah, and the answer will be nafsi, nafsi. Ruh Allah will go to, and he will say nafsi, nafsi, alayhi salam. And then, subhanAllah, imagine all the great Nabis, and they will say nafsi, nafsi, we can't do nothing. They are great prophets, great Nabis. We've read their events and stories in the Quran, how Allah loved them. Allah gave them status and gave them treasures and gifts and the ummas that they had. The great prophets. And this is the reply they will give to us. So then what will we do? We'll say, what should we do now? We have asked every Nabi, we've asked every Prophet, we've asked Hazrat Kaleem Allah, we've asked Khalil Allah, we've asked Zabi Allah, we've asked Ruh Allah, we've asked Kaleem Allah, we've asked Ruh Allah, we've asked everyone. There's only one left, and who is that? Habib Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's go to him. Maybe we'll get some result there. Maybe. So then the whole ummah will scarper and run to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What will be the answer? He won't say nafsi, nafsi. He'll say ummati, ummati, ummati. Subhanallah. What love. Imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his ummah. He said, I'm listening to you. I've accepted what you're saying. All the previous the Navis didn't give the answer. But I will first intercede for my ummah. Then it's stated in the hadith, Allahu Akbar, that at that time we will see the glory, we will see the status of Allah, the glory, and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great Nabi with whom we have a link, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallam will go into sajda, and he will not have done a longer sajda before that, a prostration, and the praise and hamd and glory he will give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not have done before that day, and nor will he do after that day. Such a praise, and Allah will say, oh my Habib, raise your head. What do you want? Rasulullah will say, I need forgiveness from my ummah. Allah will say, go, I've released so many people. Allah will mention their number, then sajda, then again prostration. Then he will ask from Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will say, my Habib, raise your head, I have forgiven. He'll say, no. Then Allah will say, okay, this many more then. Okay, this many more. Then Rasulullah will go into prostration again. And this will continue. The Rasulullah will keep on going into prostration. Allah will keep on increasing the numbers and giving more forgiveness. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, no, I cannot come up from prostration to this extent. When Allah Ta'ala will say that not one of your ummatis is in hellfire, everyone has been released, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will come up from the prostration, raise his head from the prostration. So this is the point, my friends, my brothers. And this achievement, this is not our achievement. This will not be our result that we did, our ibadah, our worship. Just one thing that will give us. We make a fast today on this point, isn't it? What is that? That the link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will give us the success. We run away from him today. We run away from his connection. We weaken his connection. We weaken the link with him. We should strengthen the link with him. What a great relationship. What a great relationship today, the time we have. Allah's Nabi said that the more you strengthen your link with me now in the world, the more you will see thereafter how I pray for you, intercede for you. That if you will see my rahmah, my mercy on the day of judgment, on the bridge of Sirat, on every phase of thereafter as you travel, on the plain of Hashar, on the bridge of Sirat, on the time of intercession. Rasulullah said, you will see my status. You will see how the status of the Prophet will be spread out on the day of judgment and thereafter. That's when we people say, today we're so enjoying ourselves that in the world we strengthened our link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now and thereafter begin. People used to laugh at us and swear at us, but we used to practice the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to strengthen the link, he told us one practice. There's no worship, there's no action, there's just one relationship. What is that? Sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we are friends, my friends, men, women, brothers, sisters, listen carefully. Listen carefully, that this is the biggest test today in the world. We pray salah, nobody will stop you praying salah. Nobody will stop you to do tilawat of Quran. Nobody will tell you to stop any work of the deen. But where the work of the sunnah of Rasulullah comes, when you start practicing sunnah, the whole dunya will go against you. Your home, your family, outside, people, society, opposition to you, joking against you, just because ittiba of Rasulullah sallam, that is the crux, that is the foundation, that is the hinge, the pivot, the succession criteria, the success criteria. So it's up to us. Let's understand this point. We understand, we know everything. It's not that a Muslim, any Muslim doesn't know. Every woman and man, every sister and brother, every brother and sister knows what is the success criteria. But we follow our nafs, our desires. But the laws Allah has made, they have been made. Number one, as long as we have life, struggle on one thing, make effort on one thing, that make your akhirah, make your hereafter. That how will we succeed? How will we succeed? Due to one person, all the other neighbors will go behind. They will all say, nafsi, nafsi, I can't do nothing. Allah will say, beware, nobody can go into paradise first. Who will go? My Habib's Ummah. The Ummah of Rasulullah will go first. Stand in a line. Go back over the Ummahs. Those who came first, go to the right, to the back. Go right to the back. And those who came last, they will go first. And not one person can go and look at the muttaqi of the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. Doesn't matter how great a muttaqi of the previous nations is, he has to wait. The first Ummah will go who? The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His nation will go first into paradise. Imagine we have this link. Allah has given us this link. And we are breaking that link. We are weakening that link. We are disregarding that link. We are putting it to the back of the queue on little points, on little bit of fear, on a little bit of being afraid of the dunya. We are weakening this, and rather there's nothing in this. There's nothing. It's khawf and fear and the restrictions, they are nothing. When a person follows his fears, but when he follows the sunnah, all the fear will be removed from his heart. He'll say, what? I was wasting my time. I was afraid for nothing. I wasted so much time. If only I had practiced the sunnah so many years before, how many rewards I would have earned by now? How many rewards I have wasted and put down the drain? I thought, what are people going to say to me? I'm following the sunnah. What will this generation of people in the world say to me? They'll laugh at me. And there was fear hidden in the heart that if you do amal on this sunnah, on the sunnah, on the amal of the sunnah, oh, what will happen to you? You'll lose out in the world and you won't be accepted and you'll be demoted. But no, I've now started to practice the sunnah. So much enjoyment, so much peace, so much coolness in the heart. He'll say to himself, oh, I made so much effort and mihna and struggle. So we need to wake up on this point. We need to wake up and understand this point. That life from the morning till the evening, it should be on the platform, on obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this is the field Allah has given to us. Otherwise, if Allah had made everything fard, this is fard, this is compulsory, then we would do it without any questions. Where would then the reward be? The extreme road, because fard equals practicing by force. You have to do it. That why we go to Fajr Salah, that's no big achievement. But if no one's saying nothing and there's no precondition, we've got the imam on the head, will we call this love or practicing by force? Say it loudly. It's love. It's love. There's no force. There's no force. Subhanallah. That your body is giving the witness statement that I testify that you have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, if we have to do all the actions because they're fard, then that's not the sign or the mark of love. So if I am practicing something, an action, let's say there's laughter and jest and mocking against it, And also on top of that, people say, this ain't fard. Why are you practicing this? You're taking the swearing of people and people are laughing at you, looking at you, saying that you're this and that. It's not fard. You don't have to do it. But you'll say, it's not fard, but it is love, isn't it? And this is the practice of love, the sunnah. What is the answer to this? If I'm practicing out of love, will you say I don't need to do it now? So this is the test, the challenge. There's a lot of drama, false claims. People say, I love the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They can keep on saying it. But where's the proof? Those people who fake, they are not genuine and say they love the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But their action, the criterion to demonstrate the love to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't have that in our love. Oh no, let's leave this. This is not necessary. It's okay, I can do this though. I'm enjoying. You can do as much as you want. Play games and show to the people of the world I'm this and that and knowledge and that. But whole dunya keeps on watching the games and the tricks. They say, look at this. But the walis of Allah, they laugh that these people mad. Then they do dua that Allah open their eyes for these people, the believers. Who are they deceiving? They are deceiving themselves. Rather, the enjoyment is where? Subhanallah. That there is opposition and laughter, criticism, and your love for the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is testing. You say, no worries, I'm going to practice the sunnah. I jump into the court of the sunnah. Subhanallah. We need to understand this point. We don't understand. Ishq, love. Subhanallah. If we look at this couplet, there's a great couplet, a great verse that the hukam came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that this is fire. And fire, you've heard the story how Nimrud prepared the fire, severe fire, until miles away, if the birds flew a few miles close to that fire, they would melt and burn. And this fire was prepared for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was afraid Nimrud, he wanted to eliminate Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Allah said, Ibrahim, my Nabi, just jump into the fire. The angels are amazed in the heavens. Allah, what a human being have you created? What insan is this? People, you're telling him to go into the fire, but this was ishq. Allah said, here, look at my test. Ibrahim, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great Nabi of Allah. And here, we are now talking about Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ummah, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we, this fire for us is nothing, subhanallah. But we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this fire, the severity of the fire of Nimrud, is nothing in comparison to the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if we burn in that fire, that's nothing in what we have to give for the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, what is the life of living? What's the point of living the life of deceit? Such a great link we have with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll realize this on the Day of Judgment. And here in the world, we walk around falsely trying to prove our love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even interested in following his deen, his practice, subhanAllah. But the veil on the Day of Judgment will be removed, drawn back, and everything, all reality will be shown blatantly. So let's grab hold of this success criteria. What do we need to grab hold of? Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah will take us to salvation and forgiveness and thereafter, and this is the test. This is the, we'll have fear, we'll be afraid, restrictions, obstacles, drawbacks, criticism, laughter in the world by following the sunnah. And people say you are unsuccessful by following the sunnah. There's no success, people will say. You can never succeed. They'll say you are low, demoted, you're backward, etc. But tell me how much success will be attained in thereafter. Imagine. So we were talking about dhikr, speaking about dhikr. Due to the sadaqah of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has given, due to the sadaqah of the deen, Allah has given us dhikr, his remembrance. And such is his remembrance, standing, sitting, lying down, walking. What's the reason? The Allah Ta'ala says that the ummah of my Habib, every second I want to prepare the luggage for the forgiveness for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah says, I'm seeking excuses to forgive the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have to extract them from hellfire. They will come there to the hereafter and ask. So why not prepare now? As many can be saved in the world, let them be saved. By so sad, we haven't understood dhikr of Allah. Aha, we've not even understood what is dhikr of Allah. Why should we do it? What's this? What's the falah? Let's think here. That what is Allah Ta'ala saying that I want? That not a second passes. Not a second. That even while you're sleeping, it shouldn't happen that you're not remembering me. Why? Because every second there are so many sins to your name, so many sins in your record books that we cannot imagine. With every breath and a breath, just like when we are breathing in the particles of air, the sins are going into us. In the hadith is stated, just like the rain drops full from the heavens, the fitnas, the fitan, the evil, the sins will drop from the skies. Is it not in this day and age that in the morning a person will be a mu'min, in the evening will be a kafir? In the evening will be a kafir, a disbeliever, and in the morning he'll be a mu'min. There's no guarantee. He cannot trust his iman. We think we are mu'mins in front of Allah. We think we are believers in front of Allah. A mu'min, not every person who prays salah will be forgiven. This is misconception. Not every salah, a person, everyone who prays salah will be rewarded and forgiven. No, not every salah will give bakhshish, forgiveness. No.
It's not the case. There will be such fitnas, said the Prophet Muhammad SAW, that they will destroy your ibadah, they will eliminate your sujood, they will eliminate the pages of your Quran recitation. Such fitnas. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, beware at that time, one thing will save you, that don't be lazy from my dhikr. Don't leave my dhikr. That's why I stated, standing, sitting, lying down, sleeping, walking, talking. Take the tasbih. And this is that day and age that Rasulullah ﷺ predicted. Look, this verse of the Quran was revealed. Was this verse for the Sahaba? It was for them. Their maqam was something else. They had a great maqam by doing dhikr. But our link with dhikr is what? What should we do? That we need to be saved from the fitnas of this day and age and be forgiven, attain bakhshish. In the hadith it is stated. Amazing. Amazing, I swear by Allah, amazing. There's such a great majlis. How did we attain this gathering of dhikr in this day and age? I swear by Allah, wallah, it is amazing. I am amazed to the extremities that Allah, in this day and age of darkness and fitan, how did we attain this gathering of dhikr? How did we get to sit in this gathering? This is not a small thing. This is a massive thing, a massive fact, and a massive achievement. Not that we've achieved this, Allah's given us this, because we don't even know what we're sat here for. We don't even know what is the reality of the glory of this gathering. Allah says, what is the maqam, the status of this gathering in this day and age? I swear by Allah, it is amazing gathering we're sitting in. I cannot say it in words, that for example, if you say to them that you're a millionaire, and someone says, I'm a millionaire now. How did I get this money? How did this money come? All his life will think, how did I get this money? I didn't even think that I'll ever get this much. I'll amass so much wealth. Million? A millions come to my name, he'll think, won't he? And imagine our dhakir, when he sits in the gathering of the dhikr of Allah, and who's got awareness and understanding and the vision, you say, Allah, how comes I've got this? How comes this much as reward has come to me, Allah? Hadith. Subhanallah. That at which time? At the time when people will be gathered to do the dhikr of Allah, which is called the majlis of the dhikr, halaka dhikr, gathering of dhikr, circle of dhikr. This is a halaka, isn't it? This is. So when the people sit in the halaka of dhikr, and when they sit and remember Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, as soon as that majlis gathers and forms and starts, Allah says, my special, special angel, special, they have no other function. From all four sides of that gathering, they spread out and gather and surround that gathering. They surround that gathering. Allah Ta'ala then says that from all four sides, the angels surround the gathering, enwrap that gathering. Allah says, my mercy surrounds. Say it loudly, Subhanallah. Let the angels hear that these people are appreciating. We don't even know. I'm swearing by Allah that we don't understand where we are sitting. How did we get such a great wealth? What is Allah Ta'ala's mercy doing? Then Allah Ta'ala's mercy surrounds that gathering. Allah says, my mercy then surrounds, enshrouds that gathering. Then Allah says, Sakina descends into that gathering. Sakina, peace. Contentment. Imagine the description. Allah says, the angels surround the gathering. Allah says, my mercy enshrouds the gathering. Then Sakina descends into the gathering. Then Allah Ta'ala says, the angels of Allah. Do we know what those angels are? And who will be those angels that come and sit in the khas gathering of Allah? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I'm not talking about normal angels. The unique select angels who will be sent for the function of sitting in a gathering with us. The malaika. The angels, those malaik, Allah Ta'ala says, I tell those angels that Allah Ta'ala says, I speak to those angels and I do dhikr about that gathering. That what was Qari Sahib saying? What was Haji Sahib doing? What was Iqbal Sahib saying? What was this Sahib saying? So great a majma gathering. Allah the Rabb, Allah Lord sits with those angels. And Allah Ta'ala says that the angels are sat in the gathering. And Allah Ta'ala tells them angels to do dhikr, to sit in the gathering and witness what we are doing. Imagine the reward we get. So there must be a reason why we get this reward. What is the reason? There's an amal, isn't there? There's an action. Such a great amal. And we have diminished and demoted this amal of dhikr of Allah so small that we have value for a particle of dust, but we don't have value for the dhikr of Allah. We don't. After Asr passed by, and our Imam Sahib, mashallah, with regards to dhikr, he was reading a hadith, reciting hadith and passing by, and I heard his statement and it came to my ears, and he, with love, he was presenting the hadith on dhikr. And while I was walking, the statement came into my ears. What was the statement? That there are 100 benefits that have been mentioned for doing dhikr of Allah. Suddenly I shook, that I was leaving, and then Imam Sahib, from his statement I heard, and he was with love presenting, that he said that there are 100 benefits of doing dhikr. 100. And from who is this? Rabbi Kareem gives those 100 benefits. That if every reward we select and take, then tell me what will be our situation. Tell me. So he stated, Imam, that the from Allah Ta'ala says that the special select malaika, I start to talk to them and do I mention you to them. So this dhikr majlis, Allah Ta'ala says that I remember you. I do dhikr with angels greater than what you are doing. Subhanallah. So listen to the hal. You will be pious, but tell me. Let me think about myself. That am I capable of coming to this gathering? I am full of, the sins are full in my life. Totally full to the brim. What do I have? Am I a VIP, a very important person, that this majlis Allah Ta'ala selects his great awliyallah, kutubs and ghaus, mujaddads, and people like us, takupatus, useless people, we come to this majlis, the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, where the angels are sent by Allah to sit and do dhikr. We don't have importance, I swear by Allah. Imagine our wujud, our bodies as Muslims. Our lives, that's such a great deed that we don't have any importance for the dhikr of Allah. We don't hold the dhikr of Allah in any importance. With no significance, I'm talking about this ummah. We totally look down at the dhikr of Allah. We shun it. We laugh against it. We think it's not necessary. We criticize others who do it. That's the point. So what is the reward? Allah Ta'ala says that these people who are doing my dhikr, I send the special, unique, select group of angels to sit with them. And those people who do dhikr of Allah, says they are walis of Allah, awliya Allah. And by sitting with the awliya of Allah and doing dhikr, if anyone comes and sits with a wali of Allah and does dhikr in a majlis, he will not stay as a loser. He will not be badbakht. He will not be unfortunate. How unfortunate we must be before this, the sins that are hanging from our necks. But when we come and sit in the dhikr, we sit in the company of the wali of Allah, Allah says that that person cannot be unfortunate after that. Why are you unhappy, O dhakireen? Tell me. Think for a few moments. Alhamdulillah, we don't have yaqeen, do we? That the person who does dhikr of Allah, the first wubu. Subhanallah. The angels, they surround the gathering. They spread their wings and surround the gathering. Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi, Faizul Bari, he wrote the kitab, Ash-Shara, commentary of Sahih Al-Bukhari. And he wrote this. Now, is this some small scale person? These were dhakireen. Who is this? We know him as a muhaddith. He wrote the Sharah of Sahih al-Bukhari. But he was such a sheikh, and only he can write such words. The person who is the dhakir, only he can write such words that he wrote. So he wrote in the Sharah Bukhari, the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari with regards to dhikr, subhanallah, that he said that what is Allah mentioning in this hadith? Allah Ta'ala said that the angels surround the gathering. He commentated on this hadith. He said, what is the surrounding of the angels? The angels surround the ground. Do you know who is Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah? What a great sheikh. What a great scholar. And another Naqshbandi sheikh, a sheikh of his time, he was the sheikh of his time, and he went to his grave. This point is just coming now. So Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah went to the grave of a Naqshbandi sheikh of his time. And that sheikh was, mashallah, great connection with Allah, great wali of Allah. And kashf happens, sometimes the walis of Allah, they see a vision, or they see a dream or a vision. And he went and did maraqba at that grave. And in maraqba, Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri, he was in dialogue with Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri. And he said that, how are you, what's your hal? He said, my hal is very good, I'm fine. But I, in my life, always thought that there are people like this, aren't there? He thought, always in my heart, I thought that I am better. I have more ilm than Hazrat Shah Wali Adelwi Rahmatullah. That I'm at least, I'm better than him, maybe in ilm. In the alims and muhaddith, they know that who was Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Rahmatullah. So he said, I always thought in my heart that Shah Wali Allah, that my ilm, my maqam is better than his in terms of ilm and hadith. I'm better than him, or at least I'm the same as him in hadith and tafsir and commentary. And he said that when I reached to the hereafter after death, and then it was correct, my thinking, my maqam was similar, maybe not the same, I wasn't less either. It was similar to Hazrat Shah Wali Adhanwindan. He was great himself, Hazrat Shah. But he said, my friend, let me tell you one thing, that when I looked towards tasawwuf and spirituality in Nainiswala, I wasn't even one particle's dust equivalent to Hazrat Shah Wali Adhanwindan. Why? Because he made such effort on dhikr of Allah, I could not reach to that position. I was doing dhikr, but when I looked at his maqam in tasawwuf and spirituality, I could not even reach the dust that was there in the equivalence to Hazrat Shah Wali Adhanwindan. And this is the kashf that Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah saw this and heard this. And Subhanallah, is a great sheikh whose grave he went to, and he saw this kashf there. So as I was saying, The Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahmatullah, he is telling us now. What a great scholar, great sheikh. He said that the angels, they come to the gathering of dhikr, they spread out around the gathering, they spread their wings and they surround the gathering. He said, what's this? He said, just like when you see the moon, and the moon is the hala. You know hala, we see, not here in this country, the climate doesn't allow. But if you go to those countries, open skies, nice open skies, you can see the moon when it's full moon. From all four sizes, total surrounding of nur and light. It surrounds the whole world. And Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmir, they said that when the angels come to the gathering of dhikr, they surround from all four sides, and dhikr is happening here. The whole world, the angels surround that gathering, and they vastly, they surround the whole world, that the whole world, the heavens and the world, and what it contains is surrounded by the angels, subhanAllah, in such a way. Then they gave the example that when you see that in the water, that if you throw a stone, a pebble into the ocean or on the bank of the river, and you throw a rock with force into the river or into the water of the ocean, the sea, then the waves, the ripples, they spread out from all four sides, the whole circumference. You throw a rock into the river, the water, and those ripples, they spread out, and they spread out in effect all four surrounds. So in the same way, when the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is happening, so those angels, they surround the gathering, and the effect is so much that their hala, the light is spread, and all of the ripples, they come into the gathering of the dhikr, and they affect the people, the dhakreen, and the condition of the world becomes so unique due to the dhikr. Can me and you think that we're sat in this majlis, say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah? Have you got yaqeen now about this dhikr or not? What a great amal, what a great practice we've got here. That how from our hearts the emphasis has come out. And this is the tashree, the commentary has it. And Mushaq Ismail Ramdhi said that then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah surrounds the gathering. One is the angel surrounding, but now Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah's rahmah surrounds the gathering of dhikr. My brothers, what is in opposition to mercy? Ghazab, Allah's wrath, Allah's displeasure, adab, punishment, difficulties, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, Allah Ta'ala tests the people. So this is the direct opposite of rahmah. But when Allah's rahmah surrounds, that then means that all of the negatives are gone. Allah's wrath and punishment and displeasure, it goes. Because when a person starts to do Allah's dhikr, then he is encircled by Allah's mercy. No problems, no difficulties, no storms, no punishment. Allah says, no problems does that person have, because he is attached to my rahmah. Do you understand the point I just made? Do you understand? So do you understand now the rules of dhikr? That when a person does dhikr of Allah, or the majlis is doing dhikr of Allah, there's no displeasure of Allah, no punishment, no problems, no worries, no difficulties, no issues, nothing. If he runs around in the world crying, then he's not done dhikr properly. That's his choice. He can make up, oh, my business, my wealth, my money. But if he is a true dhakir, then in reality he will never be in difficulty. Never, never. So if he keeps on crying and complaining, he can. But what's the point? That he should test himself in life. Alhamdulillah, the dhakir, he will never have problems in life. Never have problems. Total sakina upon sakina. No ghadab, no darkness, no difficulty, no difficulties, no problems, no sudden shocks, disasters, calamities, nothing. The dhakir, who does dhikr of Allah regularly, properly, then he will have no problems in life. Smooth and easy life. Great life. And Allah says, my rahmah will encircle that gathering. My rahmah will come around that dhakir. And Allah says, my rahmah will descend, my mercy will descend. Imagine, there are many deeds that Allah says my mercy will come, or come to a person, but never does Allah say about any other worship action that my mercy surrounds those people. Only with dhikr does Allah say mercy surrounds. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So we are dhakirin, you are dhakirin. Allah says, my mercy will surround you, so there will be no crack and nothing will permeate the gathering. Eat, drink, biryani, rice, pilau. Eat and feed others. The dhakir has no problems in life. Smooth, easy life. Why? Because Allah says, my mercy surrounds you, seals you, protects you. But then don't commit the sins, Allah says. Don't walk around in the world like a gangster playing games, and you do dhikr and then you do actions of shaitan and sins, and you criticize and complain to Allah. Says Allah says no. The dhakir, what should he do? He should be so much running towards the good deeds, so many good deeds should he do, that there's no limit to the good deeds he does. This is the glory of a dhakir, that he's immersed by Allah Ta'ala, encircled by Allah's rahmah and mercy. Why does he need to talk and spread nonsense and speak futile talk or do futile actions? That's like a king, somebody knocks on the door of the king. He says, I'm the king of your time, can you give me 10 pounds? Can you imagine the king will ask you? So the dhakir, that Allah Ta'ala, the Khaliq Hakiki, that he is surrounded by Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, and he commits sins, he says bad things, or he does bad actions, it does not fulfilled the right and the status of a dhakir that he commits the sins. Every second a dhakir should be busy in good deeds. He should be doing good actions. Then Allah says, my rahmah, my mercies will descend. He has no need to go into difficulty. Allah Ta'ala says, he's talking nonsense. A dhakir who is doing good deeds, who is doing the dhikr of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is saying himself that my rahmah, my mercy will encircle you your whole life. Do you understand? So this is the status of the dhakirin. Is this not the amal that we should do? But let's see now the third thing Allah Ta'ala said. Sakina will descend. So what does this mean, Sakina? Peace descends into the that gathering. Allah Ta'ala says, I will make you so satisfied and at peace and so content with your life that alhamdulillah, when you practice my Sharia decisions, no force of the dunya will make you shake or wilt or fall down. When the dhakir decides, I'm going to do this action, and a non-dhakir who doesn't do dhikr is... I don't know, shall I do this? I don't know, shall I do it? Don't do it. And he's scared and afraid, running here, left, right, asking for verdicts. But the dhakir, he makes a decision in his heart, I'm going to do this action and I'm going to stand on this platform. No power of the dunya can make him leave the actions of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, I have allowed Sakina to descend into his heart and his heart has now got power. When he follows my deen and Sharia, then no force in the dunya will stop him, make him turn back, do a U-turn. That this is the glory and the status of a dhakir. And who makes this effort? The dhakir. Someone says, I want to follow Sharia, I want to leave the sins. He carries on, he can carry on. But when he starts to do the dhikr of Allah, after dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala promises that what do I give him? I give him sakina and such firmness in his heart and such power and strength that the desire hasn't even come. But he started to practice, as I said to you before. Then who is this? Whose shan is this? Whose status? The person who does the dhikr of Allah, the barakah of dhikr. Otherwise dunya, when the dunya is running after us and Dajjal will come, the generation will come, the Dajjal comb will come. We see this around us and the dunya is split and everyone is running around. There are two parts to the dunya. At that time, successful will be that person who will follow the deen of Allah. And only that jama'ah will follow the deen of Allah. Those personalities, those individuals who do dhikr, وَالَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُودًا وَلَا جُنُونَ, who do dhikr standing, walking, sitting, lying down, sleeping, who do the dhikr of Allah in all situations, that qawm will get Allah's mercy. Wahid, you will see that qawm will practice the deen. And those will be the dhakireen who do the dhikr of Allah. That's it. So the thought came into the heart of the mu'min. And when the thought came into the heart that I want to do this action of the deen, and you are dhakir alhamdulillah, and you don't have fear, you're not scared from tomorrow morning I'm going to start, and that action I'm not doing due to the sunnah will start from tomorrow morning. Should we be scared? We are the people who are doing the dhikr of Allah. The dhakir sakina has come into our heart, descended into our heart. And this maqam, if Allah Ta'ala gives in old age, young age, middle age, before death, 8 years of age, alhamdulillah, no fear. Whenever we get this maqam, then we start to practice the deen. Subhanallah. This is the sign of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the person who is a dhakir, a true dhakir who remembers Allah, then he follows the sunnah with the love and zest and fervor and passion. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, he used to wear this, he used to do this, and become the image, the form of this. Who can do this only? Tell me loudly. Who? The dhakir, who does the dhikr of Allah. Yes, it makes a person surprised. You cannot understand that. What is this man? He's practicing sunnah. Look, I'm trying so hard to get the sunnah out of his life and he's going forward. So they don't realize that if you want to be successful, take the dhikr out of his heart and he will leave the sunnah. But you can't take the dhikr out of a dhakir's life. You understand what I'm saying? Person is doing amal on the sunnah, on the deen. They try to make him leave that deen. This is not necessary. Why are you doing this action? And like a fly, they're buzzing after him. Like a wasp, shaitan, and they're trying to take him away from the sunnah, but they don't know what is making him practice the sunnah. It is the sakina that Allah Ta'ala has descended into his heart. They want to remove. If you want that removed, there's only one thing you should do. One thing you do, they take dhikr out of that person's life, but that won't come out of his life. That won't come out. Dhikr is such an action. The situation of dhikr, it doesn't reduce his practice, it increases his practice. Subhanallah. We get scared. Oh, I don't know, Hazrat, is my dhikr going back? Am I progressing? Don't worry, inshallah. Do dhikr and leave the sins. And the dhikr will continue to flow like the river. Subhanallah. This is the speciality of dhikr. So we should be grateful. We should be so grateful. My husband said it 8 times, 10 times. Be grateful, 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 grateful that you have got the tawfiq to do Allah's dhikr, because he knew what was dhikr. Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Sheikh. Subhanallah. We should be so grateful. Allah's given us tawfiq to do his dhikr. This is the biggest point. Nowhere will a dhakir lose, inshaAllah. Never will he lose in this life or thereafter, the hadith tells us. Now we go ahead. Further, Allah Ta'ala says, what do I do? My select special angels, Allah says, I remember you. I do your dhikr in that gathering. Who does Allah remember? Criminals, gangsters, and thieves? No. Allah says, this is that maqam. Allah Ta'ala says, I select your awliya, kutab, ghawth, abdal, people, mujaddads. Allah says, I select them from these majalis, not from outside. Remember this point. The julus and marches and conferences, not from these places will Allah select a wali. From where will Allah Ta'ala select? The hadith tells us, from you, from your majlis. If you make a niyyah that every second of my life should be in conformity with the sunnah, I am disobedience to Allah will be my death of my life, that I want to eliminate this sunnah, I swear by Allah, at that same time in the majlis Allah will say, I've selected my ghawth from this gathering. Subhanallah, we are so foolish. I say this with, I seek forgiveness, please forgive me, that Allah Ta'ala has put the crowns on our heads, golden crowns. Imagine that. What do you know? What is the reward for doing dhikr on our heads? Allah Ta'ala has put a golden crown. And if only we saved ourselves from the sins, and we have this courage and determination, because shaitan and nafs, they continue to deceive, they continue, such a reward, like a king. A king, you give somebody kingship, and after giving him the status of being a king, he still does wrong actions and dirty thoughts and bad thoughts. He's got the kingdom and the kingship, but he has not left the bad habits. If he leaves the bad habits and passions and lusts and wasting time and wealth and money, yes, he's become a king, he's got the throne, he's been given the crown and all of the status and the glory, but he still acts out like a thief in the world, and he still acts like a silly person, a sinner. People say, expel him from this kingship, he is dishonored the throne. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah has given us a crown, His love and qurb and nearness. But what's the situation? That if we were to understand from these two things, leave the sins and follow the ittaba of Rasulullah in our lives, and leave disobedience and take it out of our foundation of life, and take the disobedience out of the foundation of our lives, then see the improvement. Just leave and eliminate the sins and wretchedness and following bad lives, that they are severe words of the Holy Allah that crush the desires, stamp on the desires. Stamp on it, crush it to pieces. Then the announcement will be made. My friends, these words are being told us from the angels. These are the words, and the people who come to the gathering. Allah says, from this gathering, five people have made Abdal today. You want to become an Abdal? Believe Allah, you don't have yakin, do you? You don't even have certainty that you will become an Abdal. Now I'm saying this from the Quran and the Hadith. We are so down, we've demoted ourselves due to our sins. We don't even have yakin from the words of Allah. O servants of Allah, that this is the kamal. This is the achievement, that we will see this scene in the hereafter, that when you will wake up on the hereafter, on the day of Hashr, day of judgment, and you'll say, who's being welcomed and hosted? And Allah will say, you. And I'll say, me? I'm a sinner. Allah will say, you don't even know the amal you did that I'm giving these rewards. And then we will believe that we're going into paradise. We don't believe now. We don't believe now. That we just have to do this action. The dhikr of Allah and the Quran and the Hadith tell us that you have reached to this status. You have got these rewards. So when I say Alhamdulillah, say at least say Alhamdulillah sometime, brother. Say it loudly, Alhamdulillah, because you don't have yaqeen. We don't have certainty. How can I be an Abdal? That does an Abdal have horns on his head? How can I be a Ghawth? How can I be a Mujaddid? We don't believe we can become this. Don't look at your sins, look at the mercy of Allah. If we keep on looking at sins, and if Allah was to look at our sins, would He bring us to the gathering of His dhikr? That's such a great gathering, in which Allah Ta'ala is mentioning us Himself, doing our dhikr Himself. That why would He call us to His gathering? So why do we think about sins? Let's look at Allah's Rahman, the ocean of His Rahman, mercy. Aha, wherever in the dunya, wherever, whoever is sat in this gathering of dhikr right now, I am mentioning this point that he is in the halak of dhikr. Wherever in the world, in the corner of the globe where my voice is being distributed, that person is in the majlis of dhikr and is getting these words. Subhanallah, Imam Mishrani, rahmatullahi, in his words, what great imams approve something, say Alhamdulillah. Such great imams, Alhamdulillah. Ghaus and Qutb, you are today, Alhamdulillah, with the Fadl Walam. We cannot believe this, can we? And sometimes it happens. The Allah Ta'ala says, oh, the thief says sometimes, let me be a king today. We hear these stories. He says, there's a sakab. Do you see sakab? There's a person who would, he used to, you know, in our countries, people who go around distributing water here. We don't have this. Anyway, khair. There's a person who is, he has a sort of a job. He fills up the vessels. He goes into the people's homes and fills up the vessels with water. This is his profession. So he was made a king for the day. That's Sakkah. He's become a king today. The man who distributes water in the houses of people. And he's become a king. Allah has made him a king. Give him status. We should be grateful to the walis of Allah who've shown us these paths. Subhanallah. That our guides, our shuyukh, our pious predecessors, how can we repay their favors? We can never. How can I repay the favor of my sheikh that he has sat me down in this masjid in Bolton and made everybody a wali? Subhanallah. This is the wali of Allah. This is the wali of Allah. They help us in the world, in this world and the hereafter. These will be the people. Allah will say, go and take your mahbub. How many jannahs do you want to go to? And that wali of Allah will rise up, stand up. He said, this is my whole group. Please take them into paradise. This will be the status of a wali of Allah on the day of judgment. Allah will give them permission to attain bakshish, forgiveness. Today we swear at them, criticize them, ridicule them. Don't make enmity with the wali of Allah, my brothers. Allah says, why do you make enmity with my friend? Why do you talk nonsense against them? You do dhikr with them and then you criticize them behind their backs. You joke against them, jest against them, mock against them, and you do ghibah against them, backbite against them. What kind of humanity is this? We have such severe defects in our hearts. We criticize the wali of Allah. Their company has given us Jannah. Imam Sharani Rahmatullah said, what did he say? That, yes, I remember now, subhanAllah. That in their majalis, the gatherings of the wali of Allah, in other words, a person who attains the company of the wali of Allah will never stay as a loser in this world or thereafter. He will never stay as a loser. SubhanAllah, Imam Sharani Rahmatullah then wrote after that once I was doing dhikr. Who is this? Imam Sharani Rahmatullah Alayh. This is not Asif Faruqi speaking. Imam Sharani Rahmatullah I'm speaking about. You'll say, Asif Faruqi, he's speaking not right, etc. No, I'm not speaking about myself. These words are not from me. This is Imam Sharani Rahmatullah, his kashf. What a great scholar, Sheikh. He said, I was in dhikr. And they used to write openly, didn't they? He used to write openly. He was not afraid of communicating. Just like I spoke about Alama Kashmiri, rahmatullahi. They used to write and speak openly. They had yaqeen and certainly on their amal, on their deeds, on their ilm, on their knowledge. So Imam Sharani, they said, I was sat in dhikr one day. Just like you are in dhikr. Say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Aha. So listen here carefully, brother. So I tell you something with love. That whenever the word dhikr comes, say Alhamdulillah loudly. Loudly, such a great name of Allah, okay? MashaAllah. So he was sat, Imam Sharani, and he said, I was sat in dhikr, and what did I see? He said that when I looked left and right and all around me, everything around me became a dhakir. Everything, subhanAllah, mashaAllah. Like you're sat in dhikr, how do you know? What do you know? That when you go and sit in dhikr of Allah, and suddenly you see kashf, you would see that everything around you is doing dhikr. Before that, nothing was doing dhikr. But because you started doing dhikr, everything around you becomes a dhikr. So he said, I saw everything around me was doing dhikr. He said, became a dhikr. He said, after that what did I see after that? That not just that place around me was a dhakir, but rather until the morning I saw the whole earth and every dust particle, every part of the earth became a dhakir. Everything around me became a dhakir. Say, subhanAllah, me and you, we do the dhikr and this is what happens around us. Do you have certainty and belief in what I'm saying? You still want to look towards your sins? Oh, animals, don't look at your sins. Look at the rahmah of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Allah's rahmah that we've come here, we're sat here. Okay, Allah's forgiven the sins. First condition, when you come to this gathering, Allah says, me and you, Allah's brought us here because He has washed our sins. That without wudu can you come to the masjid to pray? You did wudu, didn't you? Then you came and you prayed. So this is the ibadah. Allah says that you don't have to do wudu in doing dhikr of Allah. Allah says, I wash your sins and bring you to the majlis. Say subhanAllah again. Say subhanAllah again. So first Allah says, I prepare with the angels that remove their sins because He is going to that gathering. Allah says, I will call their names out in my majlis. Allah says, I don't look at your dhahir. Have you done wudu and had a wash and a bath? Allah says, first remove their sins. Dhakirin. Allah says, do you know that when they're in the majlis, do you know that me or you, when you've come to this gathering with the niyyah, that you've come clean without the sins? Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. Do you have yakin in what I'm saying? That I'm speaking from the Quran and the Hadith. Why are you upset? Or why are you not believing what I'm saying? So he said that I saw in the earth, I saw in the morning the world, the whole world that was spread out, it was all dhakir. The whole world, the earth was dhakir. Everything was a dhakir. And then he said, that what was the reason for this? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That dhakir, the word of the dhakir, wherever the dhakir's voice reaches, SubhanAllah, the dhakir's voice, his statement of dhikr, wherever it reaches, then the whole world around him has an impact of his dhikr. And everything in the world around him becomes a dhakir. The one majlis that sits, then the whole world around it, the majlis makes the whole world around it a dhakir. And not only does the world become a dhakir, but it becomes alive due to the dhikr of Allah. So he said, I saw the whole world was alive, and I saw no negligence or laziness or ignorance in the whole world. And this was the effect of one majlis of dhikr. Imam Shirani, Ramdhari, read his kitab. One majlis of dhikr has this impact that the whole world around it becomes alive. So if one majlis makes the whole dunya alive, then imagine the maqam of that majlis, that gathering. And today, at least, do my da'wah invitation today, that such maqams, I'm saying you, subhanAllah, such status, such glory for the dhakirin, I swear by Allah. One dhakir, his wujud, he doesn't know how valuable he is. But here we don't understand. We say, oh, I'm not a dhakir. I've not attained anything. Allah Ta'ala says, I will not show you here. But the dhakir, if he is doing the dhikr of Allah, and Allah has given him the tawfiq, and he sticks himself to the dhikr of Allah, he's attached to the dhikr of Allah, and he doesn't speak about ceasing dhikr, then mubarak, congratulations to that individual. Mubarak, mubarak, congratulations, I say. Congratulations. Then Allah Ta'ala says that when this hal comes, we were doing tashreef, that coming to the mafil of the wali wala, that never can a person be a loser. The person who has the sohbat of the wali wala never will be a loser. He'll be alive. So if this is the hal of the majlis, the dhikr of Allah, then tell me. Allah Ta'ala says that in the hadith, it states that how can a person who sits in the gathering of a wali wala, dhikr, how can a person who attends his gathering remain a loser? That if the whole world becomes alive, then how can the person who's doing dhikr in the gathering remain as a loser? It cannot be. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So shall I stop or shall I carry on? There's a few other points to come. Okay, the rest inshallah next time. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do his dhikr. Now one point which is in my mind I'd like to communicate with you. Is this a normal majlis? Is this a normal gathering? Say no. No, I can't hear you. You still don't understand. Is this a normal gathering? No. Is this special or not? Gee, it is. So this majlis, then let's learn the adab, the manners. The manners, because when we waste our deeds and our deeds don't get accepted, that's because we don't have the adab. Remember, spiritually, when we waste our deeds, we waste our maqams, our spiritual levels. There was one person, I'll tell you my personal experience here. There was a person, he had a high maqam, he was on the heights, he had the spark, he had learned all the lessons of dhikr, he was close to Allah. What did Allah Ta'ala do then? That he dropped from the level, high level. That let's take a person who drops from a 10-story high building, and there are stairs, and he saw, he was falling through the stairs, and then he fell to the ground injured, and he realized through that vision, that he had lost all his maqams, his levels. Remember, when Allah Ta'ala gives high level, we must protect that high status. We must protect the treasure. Allah has given us His mercy. He sat us down in His dhikr. So let's do two things. Let's not be ungrateful. And secondly, we need to consider this majlis as special and khas. I've told you some points about this majlis. So the rest here is that those people, the ahli dil, the ahli nadhar, they see with their eyes what is the majlis, what is this gathering. They see, but we are blind today. And Quran and Hadith, the words, they reach to us. We still don't realize if we should have yaqeen blindly, that is as if we are seeing with the eyes. So at least, we should learn the adab for this majlis. Because the person who is disrespectful, always remember, the person who falls spiritually or doesn't promote spiritually is due to disrespect and bad adab, bad comportment. Remember this, we should be very careful. We should be very careful about these majalis, these gatherings as we have come. Come to the gathering when your heart has real love for this gathering. You shouldn't feel tight in your heart or disrespect for this gathering. Those brothers and sisters who are listening in the whole world at this moment, listening to what I'm saying, they should also be sat in the gathering of dhikr with adab, with manners, with wudu, with fragrance. Apply the fragrance, alhamdulillah, when you come to this gathering. Apply a perfume, a fragrance, wear nice clothes, and come with caution and follow the sunnah. And come, this is a special select gathering. And you know, the ghous and qudam will be made. And if umid and hope and faith in Allah, that Allah, I'm coming to this gathering today, and I will leave with a status. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That when you go to a king of the world who's not even worth anything, you will go with this feeling and intention, oh, I'm going to go today and I'm going to get something from the king and some land or money. Doesn't matter if I have to beg to him, and I'll take some ministers with me to get intercession. So we're going to the king of the universe, the supreme king. We think we're going to turn back empty handed. No, we should have hope and desire that I'm going to Allah, the king of Allah. I'm doing Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Allah, give me the maqam that I can attain the treasure from you today in this majlis. So we should prepare in that way and leave our homes and pray 2 rak'ah nafil and leave the Allah. You've given me such tawfiq that you're sending me to this great majlis. I'm going to your gathering of dhikr. And when we value and appreciate, Allah will know that we have appreciated His gathering, and I will give us in that same way. Remember this point of mine. Remember this with adab and deep design the heart before time. Whenever you come to the gathering, morning, evening, afternoon, whatever time you know there's a gathering of dhikr, what is majlis, even if there are 3 men, 2 men, this is a gathering. time. And these all events that I've mentioned today will happen in even the gathering of two or three, not just on Thursday night. Wherever this gathering, wherever the Shaykh is sat, your teacher and the majlis, the Shaykh is there, three people are there. That is a majlis about which I've just given you the description of the glory, the benefits, the rewards. So now it's your kismet, your destiny. Take 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times. This is an open lottery from Allah. In every majlis, when the people are a person of understanding, then you should give some sadaqah as well before you leave the gathering. Have value, appreciation, brothers. Then see how Allah Ta'ala will give to us. See, so give, say subhanallah, Allah, give sadaqah that I am saved from the bad and evil thoughts and vision. That Allah, you've given me such a great gathering. And rather than making complaints, I'm tired and I haven't got anything, and why did I come to the gathering? It's too long. No. Come with wudu, determination, love, deep desire. Okay, fine, if you've got diabetes and your wudu keeps on breaking, okay, you're weak. But the normal person who is energetic, who's got health, a normal person, never should he leave the gathering. I don't like it when people just leave suddenly. You know, let's take a bus driver. If a bus driver sleeps, the whole bus will fall and people get drowned. So the person who is hosting the gathering, the sheikh, and if something affects him, disturbs him, then it affects the gathering. Remember, the bus driver who's driving the car or the van, who drives this gathering? Who's driving? The host, the sheikh, is driving the gathering, steering the gathering. So if he is, something disturbs him, then it affects the gathering and the spirituality of the gathering. The person who's steering this gathering, the majlis, don't affect that person. Everything should be according to the sunnah, the people attending according to the sunnah. And then if his heart is happy, then the faith will be distributed to the majalis and the people who are in the gathering. But so when you come to the gathering, don't leave the gathering for going to the toilet, and you're leaving the gathering halfway. People don't know that how Allah Ta'ala gives punishment. Do we think that this is a game? This supreme gathering of the dhikr of Allah, is this a joke? Oh, servants of Allah, if we were to, Allah was to give us vision and our eyes were open, we would see the arwahs, the souls, the ruhs that were sat in this gathering. And the angels, they would send curse on that person who leaves the gathering during the gathering partway to go to the toilet or to go home, and he's kicking this majlis to touch line and it doesn't appreciate. Beware, how dare we? If we come to the gathering, come with respect and leave the gathering with respect. Come early before the majlis, we will listen to Hazrat. Today, the words I've mentioned, have you heard these words before today? Have you? Never? So why do you think I'll go late or leave early? Everything we receive, is there anything repeated? Tell me, is there anything repeated? They say no. Everything is new. So why do we fuss and make a fuss? Someone's coming halfway late to the majlis or coming to the back. Okay, if you've got a need, a desperate need, you need to go to the toilet, or you were late, you had a problem, a difficulty, or you had some assignment somewhere, fair enough. But to come late just out of habit, no, Allah says, I don't like that. Don't come here with your fussing and with your bad actions and disrespect. Come here as a human being, bow your head with simplicity, humbleness, humility. You're not coming for me, for anyone else. For who? You're coming to the court of Allah to beg. And how are we going to beg? We're going to beg Allah for the levels in the akhirah. Allah, I want to be your wali. I want to leave the gathering with wilaya, with your friendship. And this is what we should be doing when you come to this gathering. So learn adab, manners, respect. Come with respect and manners and adab. And then ask from Allah openly. Openly ask more, as much as you want. Allah says, I give to the dhakirin. And how do I give? Without you asking, I give. Allah says, without you asking, I give. Subhanallah. Allah says, I don't even give you pain, difficulty, I give you without asking. Subhanallah. So anyway, the greatest thing is adab. This is a precondition. Come with manners, respect, sit with the adab, sit in the halaqa. Not one is in the back there, one is next to the wall there, next to the door there. No, sit in the circle, the halaqa. Sit humble, bow yourselves, and think that Allah, I'm begging, and Allah is going to give to me. The malaika have come, the angels have come, we're all doing dhikr, and this majalis is happening. Sakina is coming, peace is coming, Allah's rahmah is coming. We're surrounded by Allah's rahmah. Our sins have been eliminated, we're clean and pure, we're changed, we're improved, Allah's rahmah is coming, and this is all happening. This is all happening. All of this is happening. Subhanallah. Here, don't think about sins. Your dark life, proves that you sit and cry, oh, I'm a sinner, I've come here, Allah's never going to forgive me. This is a place to laugh and smile and ask from Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all, ameen.